Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Unending vacations. No more bosses. No more alarm clocks or bedtimes. Come and go as you please. Travel. Rest, grandkid fun, doing whatever you want, freedom. You can have all of this and more with one word, retirement. Retirement can be yours. It is said that of those people working today, most project that they will retire at 66. It is also said that soon people over the age of 65 will number more than those people under the age of 5, which is an interesting statistic. The current average age of retirement is 63, but the ideal age in people's mind is 61. When you think about a sermon series entitled Alive, You Can Thrive Past 55, no doubt one of the most exciting, exhilarating, thrilling parts of getting older for most people is retirement. Especially if you've saved your pennies and you've worked hard, you're ready for retirement. And I would suggest that retirement has become a part of the American life. It has become a part especially of the American dream. For many, retirement is the entire goal of life, the entire destination of life. You grow up, you get a good education so that you can get a really good job and work like a dog for several decades so that you can retire and enjoy doing all of these things that you never got a chance to do so that you can have heaven on earth enjoying the very best that life can offer you. But here's the question I want to ask you. I think it's a life-changing question. Where did you get your ideas about retirement? Where did you get your ideas about retirement? Have you ever stopped to consider where we get our ideas about what we think of when that word retirement comes to our mind? Did it come from the church? Did it come from all the ladies at work who for the last 10 years were discussing what they were going to do when they retired and you began to, just without even really thinking about it, take on some of those same ideas? Did you get your ideas about retirement from what your parents did? Was it all the advertisements that you saw in this location or this venue or this situation here? Was it nostalgic, iconic movies that paint this rosy picture of retirement? Really do ask yourself, where did you get your ideas of retirement? The scripture says that in our world today, there are three primary sources of where we get different ideas. The world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm not saying that we necessarily got our ideas about retirement from the devil. I'm not saying that all of our ideas about retirement are wrong. There could be that we get some of our ideas about retirement from our flesh, our feelings, the way we feel, and just being able to do what we want and what we feel and what our flesh might say we want to do. We might get them from the world. The world, as defined in the Bible, isn't just a hunk of dirt. The world is the entire system inspired by Satan to go against God and try to replace God. That's the world system. And the world system has a whole lot of ideas about retirement that aren't what God would have to say. He would give us these different ideas. So where do you get your ideas about retirement? You have some concepts about retirement. Probably almost every person in this room, regardless of whether you're entertainment or retirement age or not, has different ideas about them. And today I want to encourage all of us to open the Word of God and grasp some principles about retirement. We want the Word of God to shape our view of politics. We want the Word of God to shape our view of history. We want the Word of God to shape our view of finances. We want the Word of God to shape our views of relationships. We ought to want the Word of God to shape our views when it comes to this matter of retirement. And all of us need this. Maybe today, and there are many here today, who already are in this retirement stage of life here. And maybe it'll help you to have God's view of retirement, to think about it. Maybe today you're a person who's busy in the workforce and retirement is decades away here. A lot of blood, sweat, tears, many hours, nose to the grindstone. Maybe there is already a sense in you in which you want to retire. You can't wait to move south and fish every day of your life and no more managers and no more deadlines and no more schedules, and you're looking forward to that. Maybe you're a young person and you're just beginning to formulate your plans and your ideas and your goals and your objectives and what you're trying to accomplish here. Your purposes and your timelines. And even a young person can begin to get God's word in their minds, guiding them and directing them when it comes to their retirement. And so today, would you please allow me to give you 5 Bible principles that ought to guard and guide our views of retirement. And by the end of our message today, I want you to come to this one conclusion, that if I'm going to thrive past 55, I must retire for God. You must retire for God. I want to challenge you with these 5 principles today. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you for your word and how it speaks to all of our lives. We pray that our lives would be oriented and guided by your word, Lord, and we pray that you would just do that work even for this important, wonderful stage of life that you give to so many. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us with this goal and this working of your word in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes, there are 5 principles. They all begin with a P, and I'll have you write them down. Number one, the principle of productivity. You've probably heard it said, a retired husband is a wife's full-time job. The principle of productivity. One of the first things that comes to mind when we think of retirement is no more work. And this really brings us to the first principle that we want to think about that has to deal with work. I have you in Psalm 92, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Well, let's go ahead and read it, and then I'll refer to some other verses here. Psalm 92, verse 12, it says this, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Watch this now. "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Awesome truth there in verse number 14, that they'll still bring forth fruit in old age. The principle of productivity. When you think about retirement, we often do think about it in regards to our work in connection with that. But I want to remind you to go back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, where it tells us that God created mankind and he created this universe and this world that was good. He said it was good. And there in Genesis 2 and verse number 15, God gave man the command to work, to dress and to keep the garden and to take care of it. Sometimes when we look at work, we think of work as being a part of the curse. The curse didn't bring work. God had already established work. The curse just made work hard and difficult. God made work to be something as a part of the beautiful, wonderful world that he made. And you know what? If you were to go to Revelation, please don't. But Revelation 22 and verse number 3 says this, talking about the new heaven and new earth, "And his servant shall serve them." You see, heaven, the idea of heaven, isn't this just an eternal idea of sitting on fluffy white clouds and sipping lemonade and sitting there with your feet dangling in the river of the water of life there. That's not the idea. The idea is for all of eternity we'll still serve God. Work is in a curse. God made the world in a good way, and when he did so, work was a part of it. And God makes the new heaven and the new earth and all of eternity to be a place where we will work, will continue to be productive. And friend, I want to tell you that God made people, God made you to enjoy work. He made you to enjoy being productive. He made humanity to be people who enjoy accomplishing something and made them enjoy doing something. Seamstresses enjoy sewing and making beautiful garments. And carpenters find satisfaction in building buildings. And some people enjoy caring for people and helping them. Some people enjoy cleaning windows. Some people enjoy crunching numbers. Some people enjoy getting paid to read books. Why do people enjoy being productive? Why is there something in humanity that enjoys doing something? The reason is this, because you and I, all of humanity, are made in the image of God, and our God is a God of productivity. Our God is a God who does stuff. Our God is a God who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Our God is a God who created. He created the world and all that's in it. He's a God of productivity. He is continuing to work today in the lives of 7.5 billion people today, right in this time. He's working. He's working across our globe. He's working across the universe here, handling it all. Our God is a God of work, and He has made you in His image. He has made you to be a productive person. He has made you to find satisfaction in that because you're made in His image. It's the principle of productivity. And you know what? It's good for us. It's healthy for us to be productive. It keeps our minds going. It keeps our bodies as active as they can be and going and working. It gives us satisfaction here. So here's the point that I want you to see. A day may come in which we stop working a job in which we get paid. But the day should not come in which we quit working and quit being productive here. There ought to be a sense in our lives. God made us to continue to be productive and to be accomplishing things with our lives. As I was reading some on this, one author said this. He noted that many people mix up the ideas of a paid job and work. He said, so when they get to retirement age, they think that they're retiring from their job, and that means that they're retiring from all work. That's not the case. God has continued to made us to be productive people. And we can be productive even in our retirement years. And I would suggest to you that God even wants you to be productive in your retirement years. Retirement isn't about idleness. Retirement isn't about laziness. Retirement isn't about doing nothing. Yes, there's a time for a break. Yes, there's a time in which we have to slow down because we don't have the same energies and staminas and stuff that we might have when we were younger. But listen, our retirement years ought to continue to be a time of productivity here. And the Bible brings this out in many different ways. Another way the Bible brings it out, in addition to Genesis 2:15 and Revelation 22:3, but is even the Ten Commandments. One of the Ten Commandments says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and on the seventh day you're supposed to rest. You see, God set up this pattern of productivity. 6 days of productivity and a day of rest. When do you get out of that? When do you no longer have to be productive with your life? When is that command no longer apply to you? When is that command no longer there to be productive? Work isn't a curse. One of the greatest gifts of God, here's another passage, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 24, is to enjoy the labor of your hands. That's a gift of God. It's not a curse to be productive. We read in our scripture reading from Numbers chapter number 4 and Numbers chapter number 8 about the Old Testament Levites. And God, as these Levites and priests were growing up and getting ready to serve, sometime around 25, they were allowed to start helping. And by the time they were 30, they were full-fledged involved in their life as a Levite, in their life as a priest here. And they worked from 30 to 50. And when they were done at 50, they retired. We read over and over in chapter 4 that God said that. But when you read chapter number 8, God explains what they were supposed to do. It wasn't that they were supposed to be idle, but God gives the very clear indication that they were supposed to then help the other priests that were there. It wasn't that they were going to walk away and just do nothing anymore, but rather their role changed. Their job changed. Their task changed. There's the principle of productivity. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible uses the word vocation to describe Christianity. You see, your main job in life is not the job where you work 40, 50, 60 hours. That's not your main job. Your main job is to be a Christian. You ever seen one of those bumper stickers, my real car is a Lamborghini or whatever it is, you know? My real job is being a Christian. I might do a lot during the day. I might work a lot over here. I might draw a paycheck from this company here. But my real vocation is not that. My real vocation is to serve God, to be productive for God, to work for God. And when can I retire from that? When can I retire from being productive for God Almighty? The same author said this, "The absence of large numbers of retired people from committed schedules of service in the church and other Christian institutions indicates that the American idea of retirement has become the standard of the Christian community." We can't retire from serving God. We can't retire from living for God here. That's our primary vocation. Our primary job is to serve God. It's the principle of productivity. And you know what one of the most exciting things in the world is as a pastor to watch? Is to see people in retirement serving God with their lives. What an awesome and a wonderful thing. To see people in their retirement years using that to serve God and to live for God and to be productive for God. Man, have you been following the news this week? Have you realized the condition of our nation? Do you realize that with what was passed in the legislation this week, that in one election cycle, our entire way of American life could change considerably in one cycle? Wow, what a resource we have with folks who are retired who could go out and to be involved and to help to champion some of those values and see people come to know Christ and have their lives and their way of thinking and their political thoughts changed and made more in line with the Word of God here. Many ministries in a church need so many help in churches throughout our country. And here are young families that are busy with children and young families that are busy trying to just get their job done and to get through the things of life. But there are so many wonderful times where retired folks come in and aid and assist because they're able to be involved in these ways that younger folks struggle to be involved in because of the differences in their lives. God has gifted the American church with a massive resource of retired people to be used for Him. That's an amazing thought that can make a huge difference. The founder of AARP, Dr. Andrus, worked with this goal in mind. To help people change, she said, from seeing old age as a time of disability to a time of opportunity. Do you see your retirement as a time of opportunity? I can be productive. I can still be productive. Listen, that doesn't mean that you have to serve 12 hours a day, 6 days a week in the church, but that you ought to continue to be productive in your life in general and continue to be productive in your life in serving God. Listen, you may be a young man here that's 29 years of age and retirement is a long way off, but you're already thinking about it and you're already starting to invest in that Roth IRA or other retirement venue there. You don't know what all you're going to do in your retirement. But as you think about retirement, even at the age of 29, would you begin to say, I'm going to think of retirement as being a productive time in my life. Not just a time of laziness and idleness, but I want to continue to do something for God's honor and for God's glory with my life. You may be healthy, you may be retired, you may be single. How are you being productive in your retirement? Sit down this afternoon with a pen and paper and begin to write down, these are some things that I can do to be retired and just be active in my life. You may be retired, but you don't quite have the ability to be active like we would think about it here. You aren't going to be the retiree who's working in her garden or his garden or even in the church flower beds out here pulling weeds. You're not going to be able to do that. But you know what? God still has something for you to do. In my office right now, I have several stacks of 500 gospel tracts. You know what? I need labels put on those so we can pass them out, church labels. And you can take them and you can put them on in the rain. You can put them on in the sun. You can put them on when it's 95 degrees this summer and when it's 50 below next winter. And you can serve God and you can be productive. I know of a widow who could barely walk. But she could write letters. And she would write letters she could barely see, but she could pen out the words and write letters of encouragement to so many people throughout the area. You can pray. And let's not minimize prayer, amen? Prayer is a powerful thing. And would to God that He would give us more people who would labor in prayer and intercede for pastor and intercede for church members and intercede for the wayward and intercede for young people and intercede for the lost to come to know Christ as Savior. And maybe you can invite the younger generation over to spend some time with you. And you can pour your soul and pour your Christian life into them. And invest in some young ladies and invest in some young men and minister to them. And use your life. Christian schools sometimes have openings for godly volunteers in a wide variety of times and formats here. There are opportunities because God made us to be productive. Howard Enrich tells the story of Billy and Sally. They'd been married several decades and they'd worked hard. They weren't able to save a whole lot. They made the decision in their family that Sally was going to stay home with the kids. And they had three daughters, and the three daughters grew up to love their parents and go off and do well in life. And they enjoyed that relationship. But as a result, they didn't have a lot of extra money when it came time to thinking about their retirements. When they sat down to calculate it all, they realized that their Social Security and his small pension there would help. Their home was paid for, but they were still going to fall short about $7,000 a year in what they needed to live. They needed some income even in their retirement years. But they also wanted to serve God. And so they needed some sort of work, but they also wanted to serve God. And so they sat down with their pastor in their church and they explained the situation. He says, you know, I do have an idea that may interest you. He says, our church has a bunch of us churches here together. We have a camp. We have a retreat center. And in this retreat center, we are looking right now for a couple. We need a man that's going to head up the taking care of the facilities and oversee that. And we need a lady that's going to be in charge of the hostess of the dining hall. He says, you know what? It could be that you could take your summers. You could go and work at the camp. It doesn't pay that much. I think it pays about $1,500 a person. So there'd be about $3,000. And for the whole summer, you could be there working in our camp, our retreat center, helping as a part of the process of people being encouraged in the Word and people being saved and things like that. He says, also in our church, we have interns and they come from college and seminary and they serve in our church for the summer. And we need a place for them to stay. Now here's what I think we might be able to do. I think because we need a place for them to stay, we might be able to rent your house. So while you're away for the summer working here, you'd also have some rent income that would be helping you as well. You know, Billy and Sally, they were just absolutely excited. Because here this would take a huge amount of the income that they would need and it would provide for so much of it. But yet it would give them the opportunity to be productive and to accomplish something and to serve God with their lives. It's a principle of productivity. As you think about what is my retirement going to look like, the first principle you've got to consider from the Word of God is productivity. Psalm 92, verse number 14, tells us they're still going to be bringing forth fruit in old age. They're still going to be productive. They're still going to be accomplishing something with their lives. It's the principle of productivity. The second one, let's go over to Proverbs, the next book of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 6, a familiar text here. And I want you to see the principle of preparation. Preparation. When you think about preparing for retirement, the best time to start thinking about your retirement is before your boss starts thinking about your retirement. The principle of preparation. If you're going to retire, you're going to have to prepare. You're not just going to be able to think, okay, so next week I'm going to retire. Let's make this happen. Let's do this. If it's the first time you've thought about it and your retirement is a week away, you're in trouble. People prepare for years, don't they, to retire? We would even say they prepare for decades in order to retire. They want to line up their income. They want to line up their housing situation. They want to figure out what all their plans are for retirement. And I want to encourage you with the principle of preparation. We especially think of finances. Here's a couple of interesting statistics. 22% of people feel that their finances are such that they can retire. 45% of people have not set aside anything for retirement. The average retiree spends $46,000 a year on living expenses. You say, now look, Pastor, when it comes to my retirement, I'm not talking about exotic retirement here. I don't even want this idea of exotic retirement and the lap of luxury and all of that like some out in the world may not think about. I enjoy work. I enjoy accomplishing different things. I wouldn't mind even working part-time job through retirement here. Dude, what does the Bible say about me and preparing for retirement? I want you to consider here Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6 through 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Familiar verses that talk here about a person who may be lazy and they need to watch the ant. And nobody's telling the ant what to do, but it goes out there and works. But verse number 8 is so instructive because it tells us when it works. It provides her meat, her food in the summer and gathers it in the harvest. In the time when the food is available, in the time in which they can gather those things and there can be that mobility. You don't see a whole lot of ants out working on those Minnesota days when it's 25 below. You don't see a whole lot of them out moving about. They gather their meat and their food in the summer and in the harvest. And listen, you may not even be planning for the lap of luxury in retirement, but you still ought to be preparing for it. You won't be able to be a UPS driver lifting heavy packages when you're 80 years of age and delivering at that rate. It's not going to happen. It won't happen for me anyway. Maybe it'll happen for you. Your mind might not always be as sharp as you wish to lead that executive team. And you have to be prepared for the time when you can no longer work that way. You're not going to have that unending energy that you have now and that stamina to stand on your feet and work at the assembly line for 8 hours a day here. You're going to have to be preparing. And there could be some things in the future that'll come up that'll change all of this. And you're going to need to be prepared. And you need to be setting aside some things now. You need to be setting aside some things now so that you are provided for and taken care of when the winter years of life, when the autumn years of life come to you so that you are prepared in that way. We ought to be preparing for the future here. We save and we invest, not because we trust in money, but we save because we trust in the Lord to take care of our needs. We trust the principles of productivity. We trust the principle of working and meeting our needs. We trust that the Bible says through the Apostle Paul, if any would not work, neither should he eat. And I want to eat when I'm retired, so I need to work now to save so that those needs are met there. Because the day may come in which I can't hold a job, in which I can't provide for my own, in which Social Security may not be there. I don't know on all that stuff. Proverbs 22:3, the prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Jesus tells the story of the man intending to build the tower, and he sits down and he counts the cost to see how much he's going to need in order to build the tower in the future. And I would encourage even our younger people here that you need to do all that you can to be preparing for that. Your trust isn't in money. Your trust is not in the stock market. Your trust is in the Lord. But God wants you to be prepared so that you can be taken care of in those years of your life and continue to be productive for Him. It's the principle of preparation. Go to Ecclesiastes, the next book of the Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. We've preached through this. Someone has said, work hard and save your money, and when you're old, you'll be able to buy the things only young people can enjoy. It's the principle number 3 of pleasure. The principle of pleasure. And really, when we think about retirement, another one of the key principles or the key concepts that come to our mind is the fun and the pleasure. Retirement is seen as the time when we get to do all those things that we've always wanted to do. We have our bucket list and we wanted to do this and this and this and this. We think of that when it comes that way. All the things that we've wanted to do, but we couldn't do because we were busy raising a family. We couldn't do because finances were tighter in those early years here. We think of scriptures like 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 17. The living God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We think about this and enjoying all of this. But you need to keep this truth in mind, the principle of pleasure, 11 verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11, 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine eyes and in the sight of thine, in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. You know, there's an allowance here. Enjoy life. You can enjoy some of these things and enjoy going after some of the things that you would enjoy doing in life. Yes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That doesn't mean he's condemning pleasure, but he means that you're going to stand before the Lord and give an account of how you live. A young person is going to stand before God and give an account of how they live in their pleasure. A middle-aged person is going to stand before the Lord and give an account of their pleasure. And a retiree is going to stand before the Lord and give an account of their pleasure. God is not a God who says you can't have any pleasure, but it needs to be within the principles of the Word of God. You know, maybe you say today, well, listen, if I'm going to stand before God, I'm good with that. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of what I do with my pleasure and how much pleasure I go after and how much I spend on pleasure and whatnot. You say, I'm good with that. Okay, well, listen, that's fine, but just make sure that it's based on the Word of God. How many people today in our world, when you say, listen, there's going to come a time, and you're witnessing to a lost person, and you say, there's going to come a time in which you're going to stand before God, as it were, as we describe this type of scenario, and you're going to think that you're going to get into heaven. You might think that this, you're going to have this opportunity. It doesn't work this way, but you think that you're going to have this opportunity. You think that you can stand before God and say, well, God, I've done this good thing, and I'm this good person, and I went to church, and I was baptized, and I knew some Bible verses, and I knew about Jesus. Surely God will let me into heaven. And how many of them, they've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? And when that day comes, those things aren't going to work. They think, oh, when I stand before God at the judgment, I'll be good to go. I got it all figured out. But they're going on the wrong criteria. And we can stand before God and look at the way we live our lives and the amount of pleasure that we go after here. But let's make sure that it's pleasure according to the Word of God, so that when we stand, God says, okay, I realize that that's how you think, but this is what I said you were supposed to do. And this is what I was thinking you were going to do. And this is how I wanted to use your time. And yes, pleasure's okay, but you went whatever. You have to make sure that if you're okay with standing before the Lord, that your idea of being okay is squarely based upon the principles of the Word of God that are brought out here. Listen, sometimes when we talk about pleasure and retirement, and pastor gets up here and says, now listen, be careful about just going after pleasure and retirement, we say, oh, pastor, well, thinks our Bible, according to the Bible, retirement is supposed to be boring. We're never supposed to have fun, and we are supposed to work 6 12-hour days serving God and praying at 3 o'clock in the morning here, and retirement's going to be horrible. It's going to be drudgery. We're supposed to give up all the fun here. But you know what? I think a biblical idea of retirement is a great life. Do you know that the greatest joys in life are not luxurious living? Go to Hollywood. Plenty of those people have all the greatest things in the world, but they don't have any joy. Do you know that the greatest joys in life are not idleness and entertainment, unending entertainment, entertainment, entertainment? Because God created us to be productive. There is satisfaction in serving God. Do you know that the greatest joys are not living your retirement for yourself? How do I know that? Because living for yourself doesn't bring satisfaction. God made us, number one, to love the Lord my God with all my heart. And number two, to love my neighbor as myself. So that tells me that if I'll obey Him and love Him first and love others second, that's the life of the greatest joys here. Serving God, living for God, following what His Word says, that is what brings incredible pleasure. The story is told of a married couple by the name of Jim and Jane, and midway through life, the Jays, as they were called, they had to make a decision about his future. He was with a company, and he had an opportunity for a promotion, and the promotion would mean that they were going to move and live in a different place and whatnot, and they really prayed through it and wrestled through it and tried to figure out what they were going to do, and eventually, they ended up turning down the promotion. They thought that where they were, their church, their friends, and all of that were better for them than making this move. But in the process of considering this change in their life, it really caused them to stop and consider not only just this decision, but their future and their retirement. They really started thinking about their retirement. They started to think about what they wanted to do, and they really began to work on saving up a little bit of money. They didn't have a lot, but they were saving up a little bit. They got some plans in place, and one of their plans, and they did it, was when they turned 55, they both enrolled in a Bible study course through like a Bible institute, a Bible college. And so they started when they were 55, and by the time they were 60, they had accomplished it. They went and they talked to their pastor and they said, listen, here's what we'd like to do. We know that your church has pastoral interns and stuff and they serve in the church. And we'd kind of like to do something similar to that, where we would have kind of an internship. We've done some Bible college training and we could just kind of intern and serve here in the church and help out in these different ways, kind of on an internship as self-supporting church workers. So the pastor and the church agreed to that, and they got on board and began to help in just some different areas. And after a couple years, they were able to take a trip to Israel and see some of the Bible lands, and they stopped off on their way home in Europe for a couple days and just celebrated what God had done and enjoyed some time as a couple there. They came back home, and Jim was able to get on staff at the church as kind of a part-time, helping with people being assimilated into the church. And Jane was able to get involved in the children's ministries and help out with some of the children's programs that they had in their church. Over the next several years, they just worked a few hours that they enjoyed and helped out in that way. And even Jane's health went down a little bit, and the church made some changes to her schedule and allowed her to do some work there at the home instead of coming into the office every day. After several years, and Jim had now been serving the Lord for several years and working in the church even brought him on as an assistant pastor. He said it was one of the greatest joys in his life to be able to serve in that capacity. They were so excited to be able to use their retirement in that way, and they found great joy and satisfaction in that. Listen, there can be great pleasure, there can be great joy in serving God with your life. It doesn't mean that you will be like Jim and Jane, in which you're going to be on staff or helping out in a church, but as you think about the pleasures of retirement, think about the pleasures of serving God. Let's go back to Psalm, and we'll see a fourth principle here, Psalm 71. Where did you get your ideas about retirement? Principle of productivity, preparation, pleasure. Now I want to challenge you with the principle of purpose. Psalm 71, verse 18. Notice the purpose of this person. Psalm 71, 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every one that is to come. He had a purpose. God, I want to show you to the next generation. What's the purpose of your retirement? What's the purpose of your whole life? The purpose of our entire life as a Christian, Matthew 28 and verse number 19 brings out part of it. We're supposed to be involved in making disciples, in bringing other people to Jesus Christ. And there's no age limits on that. Your method may change, but we all ought to be involved in that. What's your purpose? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12 tells us that if you're mature in the Lord, you ought to be a teacher imparting to others. And in fact, Titus chapter 2 tells us that the aged women are to teach the younger women. That's part of the purpose. I really wanted to entitle this point, The Principle of the Finish Line, but being a pastor, it didn't begin with a P. The Principle of the Finish Line. Where's your finish line in life? I would suggest that for many people, the finish line that they've drawn in the sand, that they've got across, is the finish line of retirement. And life ends at retirement for some. This is where I'm productive. This is where I'm accomplishing things. And once I've stepped across this line, I've crossed the finish line. God didn't put the finish line there. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. I'll read it to you in Acts 20 and verse number 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The finish line isn't the day that retire. The finish line is the day that we're promoted to glory. And until that time, we have purpose. Until that time, God has a reason that He's left us here. Until that time, God has something for you to do, something for you to accomplish. You have a purpose. One author said, we shouldn't call it retirement, we ought to call it repurposement. I don't even know if that's a word. Repurposement, understanding your purpose. Crown Financial Group says that more and more seniors are launching what's known as encore careers. In their retirement, they are starting entirely new careers and starting out businesses and all of that here. They see a purpose. You see, one of life's greatest questions, and one of the greatest questions that brings people to know Jesus Christ as Savior, is asking the question, what is my purpose in life? And when you look at so many of the other worldviews that are out there, and the other ways that people try to explain life without God, they don't have purpose. And God offers us purpose. And your purpose doesn't end at 55 or 65 or 75. Your purpose goes to the end of your life. You have a purpose. God gave you a purpose. There was a professor from a Christian university and he had worked hard and he enjoyed his ministry, but at age 55, he retired. It was his dream to go and to sit on the beach and to go fishing every day. He went there and he fished and he enjoyed it for 2 years. After 2 years, he picked up the phone, he called a professor, or he called the president of a Christian university, and he says, listen, he says, I don't need income, I need purpose. He says, in my life, God has given me a lot of business experience, God has given me a lot of opportunities here, and I would love to invest that in young people. I would love to be able to help them to learn how to serve God through their business. I would love to help them to do that. It would give me great satisfaction, and I'd be able to earn some rewards in serving God with my life. And the man came on board in the faculty of that Christian institution and built an outstanding business department and influenced the lives of many young people as they went out into the business world. And what he needed was simply purpose. You got out your paper pad. Maybe you do it on your tablet this afternoon, paper or digital, and you write down about retirement. Just write up near the top, the purpose of my retirement is... And you fill out the blank. What would you put there? You're that 29-year-old person that I mentioned earlier. You're thinking about your retirement. The purpose of my retirement is... Maybe you're already in retirement. What is the purpose of your retirement? Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. There's a sobering passage I want to conclude with. And let's go to Luke chapter number 12 in the New Testament. Luke chapter number 12, and we'll see the last principle that I must just quickly give to you. Luke chapter number 12. Verse number 13, Luke 12 and verse number 13. Let me briefly read these familiar verses to you. Luke 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he, that's Jesus, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he, Jesus, said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now notice the story Jesus tells. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The principle of possession. Possession. Have you ever thought about verse number 19 in the context of the American dream of retirement? Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, but do you understand that when you die, who will have all the stuff that you have? Whose really is it? Paul says, it is certain... We didn't bring anything into this world and we certainly can't take anything out. We don't own it. This man was rich, but he was rich for himself and he wasn't rich towards God. He hadn't laid up any treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. It's the principle of possession here. I've long heard it said that God gave America wealth because he was entrusting this wealth to be used to help spread the gospel around the globe. And for several centuries, many American Christians sacrificed of their wealth, of the incredible amount of wealth that they had here, not to live the luxurious life, but to fund missions and to send missionaries around the globe because they were consumed with the fact that God owns everything that I have. I am given a pound, Luke chapter 19. I'm given this small amount and I must invest it for the cause of Christ. And someday I will answer because he gave it to me. And can I remind you here today that God owns your time. Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 32, he told Belshazzar, he says, your breath is in God's hand. God owns your time and how much time he has given you. God owns your wealth. He owns the wealth in every mine. Psalm 50 and verse 10, Haggai 2 and verse number 8, the gold and the silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns our bank accounts, our IRAs, our retirement accounts. He owns your health. God can choose to allow you to have a Job experience. God can choose to allow you to have a Paul experience, the thorn of the flesh that's there. God owns your health. God owns your time, your wealth, your health. God owns your very existence. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. God owns all of you, all that you are, and all that you have. Unfortunately, when we think of retirement, many times it comes down to a self-centered existence. But what the scriptures teach is that all of life is supposed to be a God-centered existence here. And you look at this and you say, oh, there goes Pastor again. We have to work all the time, and we can't have any fun. And now he's telling me that God owns everything. God's got it all. But have you considered a few of these things? Have you considered this? That God gave you life. He gave you existence. He's the one that says, I need a, and you put your name in the blank, and he gave you the very existence. Have you considered that God gave you the mind to make that money, and God gave you the family that provided you with that money, and the upbringing and the opportunities to make that money? Have you considered that God gave you all of that? Have you considered that God allowed you to be born in a nation where you have, or live in a nation where you have this kind of wealth? Have you considered that? Have you considered that God has given you the health to be able to continue to hold on to that money? Have you considered all that he spent on you when he gave his life on the cross to provide for you? Have you considered those types of questions? Have you considered that all that you have on this planet is just going to burn up someday anyway, and you're going to leave it all behind? And can you consider the idea, it's just an unfathomable thing, that you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, he paid this incredible price, and now he gives you all of these incredible blessings, and he says, use them for me, and when you get to heaven, I'll give you a reward for it on top of it. It's just an amazing thing. I don't deserve anything except hell. He saves me from hell. He gives me heaven. He gives me a relationship with God. He gives me all of these blessings here in America. And he says, okay, I'm just pouring them on to you. But if you use them for me, I'll bless you some more. How can I complain that they're his possessions? How can I not rather be so excited? Look at what God has entrusted to me, and I want to use it for him. Look at all of these things. So where did you get your ideas about retirement? Can you sit down and put a Bible verse behind all your different ideas and all your different plans and say, this is where it fits in with the Word of God? I read a book by James Hollis called Living an Examined Life. He certainly comes from a far different perspective than I do, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend the book. It's entitled Wisdom, or the subtitle is Wisdom for the Second Half of the Journey. And as I was reading a little bit of it here, his first chapter is this: the choice is yours. And as he's challenging people to think about the second half of their life, he's challenging them, listen, don't sit there and just say, I can't do it, I'm stuck, there's no thing I can do. He wants them to step up and say, listen, I have choices that I can make. The choice is mine. Listen, you have choices as well. Your choices with how you're going to live your life, how you're going to prepare for your retirement, how you're going to use the retirement that God has given to you. And the choices that you make are not choices where you've got to be just true to yourself. There are choices where you've got to be true to God's Word and based upon the biblical principles of God's Word. Retirement is an awesome blessing available to many in modern America. Do our opening verses describe your retirement? They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. I want to still be producing for God. And I want to show that next generation that God is my rock. I want them to see, the next generation to see the glories of my God. Be alive. You can thrive past 55. And one of the great keys to that is that you must retire not from God, but retire for God.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.